This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Game Time episode 33. My name is Jeff Sandhu.
I am Richard Bradbury.
And today on the show, we will be talking about PlayStation experience. Well, not we. There will be someone who will be talking about PlayStation experience, because I and Richard, you yourself, we both could not make it.
Yeah.
But we heard great things about it.
Also, we heard that with huge queues as well.
Queues that were, you know, literally across the building and the building beyond that as well. And there were actually some people who never managed to get in.
Including somebody from our office who'd queued there for 2 hours and couldn't get in, and decided at the very last minute, I'm going to go home instead.
All right. 2 hours, I think, was a very safe
I thought
time.
So too,
right? I know some people who queued up even the night before.
What?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and obviously, they didn't manage to get in because they were queuing up the night before. This is like a crazy thing that happened in Malaysia. And then later on, we will be doing a review of a game that has been so outdated, but we've decided to do a review now because we need more people to play this game.
Yes. We need friends.
We need friends. But first, as I mentioned, PlayStation Experience happened over the weekend, and I spoke to Hasnul Hadi Samsudin. He is the Vice President of Creative Content and Technologies Division at MDAC, and he's been on the show before. He's a massive gamer. He's a big gamer. Mm-hmm. Literally a big gamer. Yeah. Right? Sorry, Hasnul. But
he said that, not me, Hasnul. He said that.
Richard kind of actually told me beforehand that, you know, he is a big player. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, so he's a massive gamer. And he was there even before everything was, kind of happening. He was there, I think, at about 6 or 7 a.m.
Yeah.
So I got on the phone with him and asked him, you know, hey, Hasnul, could you just let me know what exactly happened? And here's what me and him had to say about the PlayStation experience. Hasnul, can you just tell me what happened at the recent PSX over the weekend in Kuala Lumpur?
It was pretty crazy. I was there since 7 a.m. I heard there were people there waiting since 3 a.m. But even at 7 a.m., I saw a line that backed all the way to Wisma Genting. And I heard at the end of the day, there were people waiting for 4 to 5 hours trying to get into PSX. So it was really crazy, but it was really awesome at the same time.
And what were some of the things that people were just personally excited about? Why were people just lining up all the way till the other building? I've seen, Insta stories and videos on Twitter about, you know, just the amount of crowd and the amount of excitement that it generated and what was going on.
I think it's because it's the first time, and I guess it's a validation that Malaysia is a gaming market, and especially within Southeast Asia. And I think this is the first time also Sony has brought the PlayStation experience into Southeast Asia. So KL is the first place that they did a PlayStation experience outside of, you know, the US and Europe. And because of that, in my mind, honestly, they underestimated the Malaysian gaming population. So, you know, having the whole line, you know, of people, you know, for people getting you know, a bit frustrated, really frustrated at times. But some people just kept on staying, and they really wanted to see the games inside. And the reality was, and what was happening inside was that the games and also presentations from producers that they brought from around the world to Malaysia to talk about the latest games that they're going to be coming up on the PlayStation platform.
Just before we talked about the games that were on display, you know, going back to that crowd, I think, you know, it's just a testament of, you know, how crazy, you know, we are into games, not just as consumers, but also, you know, making games. We've talked about this before, you know, the amount of developers that we have here. And I think next year, if they're planning to do the similar thing in Kuala Lumpur, they got to take on a stadium. They can't do in a small venue like here live.
I agree.
So let's talk about, you know, some of the games that were on display. I heard about Monster Hunter was on display. The Gran Turismo Sport was on display.
Yep. So Yamauchi-san, the producer of Gran Turismo Sport, you know, he was also in KL, gave a presentation on Gran Turismo. Is going to be one of the first games that will be fully 4K. First Gran Turismo will be fully 4K. They're saying that, you know, it could go up to even 8K. They've built that kind of technology into it. Full HDR is going to be one of the showcase pieces of the PlayStation Pro. He's very happy. It was also on the same day his birthday, so we actually celebrated his birthday there with all the fans.
Wow.
Yeah. And the other great thing, another great game that was also highlighted was Monster of the Deep, which is a VR game out of Final Fantasy 15. So we had our own local hero, One Husmere, come down from Square Enix Japan to talk to our fans and also to the media about what Monster of Deep is all about. You know, one of the first things that he said was, you know, people ask him why the hell, or why WTH, that they did a game around a fishing game around in VR for Final Fantasy. But once I actually experienced it and played with it, it is very intuitive. Number one, the controls really great, but it's actually a really fun game to play. You know, there's going to be mob hunts in there. There's going to be boss fights in there with different fish, and one of the highlights was him actually saying that one of our local studios, Streamline Studios, is involved with creating stuff for the game, the UI, the 3D assets for the game. So we've got Malaysian fingers, Malaysian hands, Malaysian talent on that game too.
Mm. And also, you know, you have obviously spoken to, you know, some of the developers who came down for PSX. Were they surprised that the feedback and the sheer amount of fans who were, you know, were really anticipating for a PSX event?
They were truly surprised. I think, you know, again, some of them, first time, I think Yamauchi-san, the guys from Capcom, the guys from Monster World, and also Marvel versus Capcom, they were the first time they were in KL.
Mm.
And, again, mind blown what KL is. A lot of people, again, have different perceptions of KL, but more importantly, the fans, you know, and the fans really loving what they're presenting. So, again, they're going to go back. They're going to go back to wherever they came from, and they're going to tell about how the Malaysian fans are. And I'm sure now they're going to build more stuff that will appeal to Malaysian fans.
Is this also, Hasnul, a win for your end in terms of, you know, being part of MDEC, and your push, you know, for throughout the whole year has been, you know, to just educate, you know, all Malaysians and just, you know, outside of Malaysia about the scene that's happening here, the gaming scene that's happening here. You've come on to our show and talked about, you know, some of the developers that's happening here in the gaming scene, how we're booming, how it's a thriving industry. Does this feel like, you know, you're sort of achieving towards the end of, you know, or you're seeing a light at the end of the tunnel because we're finally seeing events like this happening in KL?
Yeah, I see it more as a validation, and it's still a light at the end. Well, it's not really at the end of the tunnel. I see the light, at least light. Still a lot to be done, but it is amazing and a surprise to us that PSX was done in Malaysia. But I think also at the same time, they do. I know a lot of the work that we've been doing in MDEC and also the industry have shown the big boys that we are serious about, you know, Malaysia being part of the games development industry. We are serious about being a regional games hub. They are seeing this and they are supporting this. You know, people like Bandai Namco, for example, people from Sony, for example, and also, having all these products being done in Malaysia. All these things point, you know, people are now realizing that we are serious, the government is serious, and the fans and the developers are serious here. So there are going to be bigger things coming up soon. So look out for that. You know, for sure, Level Up, which you guys will be coming up to soon. So that's going to be quite big, actually.
Speaking of which, you know, could you give us some info about, you know, what to expect in the next coming months? Because this is the time when people are getting prepared for the year-end holidays and stuff.
Yeah, so Level Up is coming in November. Some really cool things are happening. You know, there's some murmur in the ground that there's going to be a Southeast Asian Games Award that's coming up soon. We're going to have some really cool speakers that we'll probably be announcing soon. And also at the same time, we're very proud to actually get our own Level Up Inc., our game hub, coming up soon. So you'll hear more about that, where game developers, the game community can get together and actually do, and actually grow games. That's happening.
Hasnul, I wouldn't mind you plugging in the Level Up Facebook page, which is...
Yep, it is Facebook at Level Up KL.
And we will be right back with a review of Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands. Play it on PS4 in just a moment. You're listening to Game Time, BFM 89.9.
Before Friday materializes, BFM 89.9.
And we're back with Game Time episode 33. And earlier on, we were talking to Hasnul Hadi Samsudin. He is from MDEC. And we talked about the PlayStation Experience 2017 and also how it's just kind of shown Malaysia is really buzzing in terms of the gaming scene because nothing like this has happened in Singapore. Only in Malaysia.
You like that, right?
Yes, of course, because we see a lot of studios, gaming studios that are, hosted in Singapore, but now they're sort of noticing, hang on a minute, Malaysia has the potential as well. And, kudos to the guys like Hasnul in MDEC and also all the other developers who've been pushing out Malaysian creativity into a gaming world that's just obviously taken a whole new industry of its own, right? So let's talk about a game that we would like to review, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands. This was a game that was launched quite a while ago. I think this was somewhere in March or April of this year.
At least 6 months, maybe.
Four or 5 months. And it's taken us that long to review this game. Not because the game is amazingly awesome. It's just that I bought the game when it was just launched. Yeah. And I was the only one playing the game because none of my friends here decide to spend 280 ringgit on another Ubisoft game.
Exactly. Exactly.
After the horror of The Division.
Right.
And then I remember the first time we talked about this, I showed on the trailer and both of y'all, as in you and one of our friends who, always listens to the show via streaming on the mobile app, the both of y'all told me, it's like, oh, Jeff, remember The Division? Remember how excited you got about The Division?
Yeah.
What happened to The Division? And I go like, oh, man, like I just spent money on this thing, pre-ordering this thing. And I did the Gold Deluxe Edition. There was 280 over ringgit.
More fool you, Jeff. More fool you.
And I had to wait 4 months.
Until it was on sale.
Until it was on sale. For like half the price.
Yes.
And then my friend here, Richard Bradbury, decides like, hey, have you played this game? It's mightily awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It is a very... Okay, right. I'm not going to gush over this because, taking a leaf out of the issue that we had with Ubisoft and, of course, with The Division before, we loved The Division and we loved the idea of it. We loved the original implementation of it. It seemed like such a great idea.
But
over time, as Ubisoft tend to do, they mess things up with the updates, right?
Oh, yeah.
And there was this kind of... the longevity of the game just wasn't there.
Mm. So Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands takes a very different spin from the original Tom Clancy kind of era.
Yeah.
It feels like, among all the Tom Clancy series, this feels really not Tom Clancy-ish, especially if you look at some of the DLCs that they're throwing in. I've no idea why is this a Tom Clancy game.
Right.
Basically, you're a member of an elite US special force and you're dropped with your AI or your teammates in what seems to be Bolivia.
It is.
It is Bolivia.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's an exact replication of Bolivia. I don't think it is.
I think the Bolivians would be really upset if this was an original representation.
And that is why I was a bit surprised that why did you just call it some other name.
An imaginary name.
Yeah.
Right? There has been, criticism from Bolivians to Ubisoft about this, saying, what are you doing to our country?
Why Bolivia? Right. Because, you're dropped in, you're a US special elite force here, and you're dropped in to sort of, eliminate the head honcho of the narcos.
Yes, the Santa Blanca cartel.
El Sueno.
That's him.
Who is the head. And every time you start the game, before you could even go into the menu, you are shown this video of just how gangster El Sueno is. Like, he would kill kids, he would steal your wife, he would do everything, but he would never lie to himself because that is the ultimate crime.
Right. There's this description. of El Sueno, right? So here's the official description of this character. El Sueno left his village at 11 to become a sicario, telling people he wouldn't come back until he became king. He is rumored to have spoken to Santa Muerte in an awakening. Whilst his tattoos seem to attest to his faith, it is unclear whether he is a true believer or master manipulator. Brutal and religious, he's a brilliant leader. El Sueno instills loyalty in those he meets and fear in those who oppose him. This guy is, if he was real, I would be terrified.
Yeah, he's your comic book villain.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolute brilliant kind of comic book villain, but, you know, it's very cheesy lines that comes out in every single trailer or video that shows El Sueno. And the government of this, you know, imaginary Bolivia turns a blind eye, and the UNIDAD forces are actually kind of with with the El Sueno team, with Santa Blanca. Obviously, they, you know, they have some fights, but they aren't doing anything to stop drug cartels moving around and you know, spreading their wealth and also their influences around the across Bolivia. Yes, this imaginary Bolivia.
You cannot walk down a street in Bolivia without either running into a drug dealer or a corrupt policeman. You know, you just cannot.
Which is disappointing for a lot of the real life Bolivians, I guess, because I'm sure it's a beautiful place.
Right.
And it's just that, unfortunately,
names for roads called the Death Road, you know.
Yeah. So the thing that took me by surprise is just that, one is how big the map is.
It is enormous.
Huge. So it's just massive. And every single, you know, you would call it a state in that sense, right? Yep. Every single state has this head honcho that leads this state because, you know, it has to manage the operations of a drug cartel, right? And your duty is to obviously, you know, go through every single state. And they are sort of ranked by the difficulties based on, you know, how many stars, right? So how many skulls they have.
Correct.
Right? So one skull, you know, fairly easy.
You could probably do it with your eyes closed.
Five is you're looking for trouble. Yeah. You know, you need help.
Yeah.
So all of these states, they've separated by that difficulty level. You climb up the ranks. Or the beauty of this game is because it's open world, you can just start off and take a chopper, go all the way to El Sueno and meet your death.
You could. Yeah. Yeah. That's the way that you can choose. The beauty is, you know, it is truly open world. Mm. You know, and you can choose to play it how you want to play it. You can be a fella, excuse me, who you know, chooses to do it in a military style, or you can choose to be one of these, you know, a little gangster who will roll up by himself, whatever.
You decide your attack plan, basically.
Right. And that's the kind of beauty of this game, you know, is, I'll be honest, Jeff, when you first told me about this game, I watched it and I'm like, look, it looks a little bit like, too much like Grand Theft Auto meets The Division. Mm. That's what it felt like, you know. But the more I've played it, the more I've really, really started to enjoy it, you know, because it's just one of those games that if you play by yourself, you can kind of switch off and you can be kind of sneaky and have a lot of fun with it. Mm. But it really shines when you team up with your friends and you just have a lot of fun.
Yes.
It gets incredibly frustrating at times.
Oh, yeah.
But it also is hilarious, you know.
It's what games should be.
Exactly. I mean, for example, one of our regular friends who plays with us is the comedian Kwa Jenhan. You know, and he the first time I managed to play with him, within a minute I'd run him over in a Bolivian minibus, you
and
know.
Followed by just 20 seconds of pure laughter.
Yeah, exactly. and it's that bonding of friendship over video games that
Why
this
did
game
you do
does.
That, Rich?
Yeah, that kind of stuff. It felt like a release. Mm. And because the world is so expansive and you can fly around, you can drive around, you can go on motorbikes and boats,
the whole thing. Let's talk about some of the missions. So you have, you know, your main story mission that, you know, you climb up all the way till you meet El Sueno. Mm-hmm. And you have the side missions. Mm. And they're all part of just trying to help you equip yourself, level up your character in order to meet El Sueno. Because if you start off the game and just decide, like, you know, I already got, you know, this gun and that gun and I'm going to go all stealthily against El Sueno, you die still.
Yeah.
Because the AI gets a lot tougher when it, you know, climbs up the rank.
It does.
They may seem the same kind of, you know, on physical appearance, they may look the same. but they take more hits.
Correct.
And, you know, they become a lot smarter in
bullet
how they
sponges.
Move. Yeah, bullet sponges, right? Yeah. So you would have to learn how to rank up.
Right.
And then you would also want the ability to, like, you know, have a helicopter that, you know, you could call in for help. And to get that, you have to unlock a few things.
Correct.
Which you got to do side missions and
yeah.
so forth.
Yeah, yeah.
They become a bit repetitive. Especially when you do them more than twice.
That's
I
why
guess.
You run Gen Han over.
That's
in
why
a minibus.
You do funny things
yeah.
in order to make it exciting again.
Yeah.
But because there are just so many ways of doing a mission,
yeah.
it doesn't quite give you that sense of like, oh, I'm just doing this yet again. It has that feeling that The Division didn't quite give you, which is a sense of accomplishment once you've achieved something. Whereas The Division just feels like a lucky draw
yeah.
of what I would get
right.
after I've completed this mission. And then I would play it again just because I was not happy with what I got at the end.
Correct,
of the
day. Yes.
Whereas for us, we've played missions again and again because of, you know, maybe like for me, example, like I'm still very, very new in the level. I think I'm level 21 or so.
Yeah.
But for your case, you're on like level 30 and above.
Yeah.
And there are some missions where you have played and I have not.
Right.
But I have not heard a complaint unless you guys are just, you know, talking behind my back. You're like, oh, Jeff is such a horrible gamer and like, you're going to do this for him. But I've not heard one complaint
Damn,
so
you've
far.
Been listening.
I've not heard a complaint. It's like, I don't want to do that mission because I've done it again.
Because
already.
You've hit the nail on the head. It's because it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, you can choose the style in which you want to do it. And when there's four of you playing in your individual styles, it becomes a different game and a different approach, right? Say for example you might want to approach the mission where you have no suppressors on your guns.
Oh,
you go in guns blazing, you're throwing grenades left, right and center. You know, you pull up a minigun on your, you know, whereas somebody else might approach it with a sneaky kind of approach, and then it's the meshing of those two ideals that make this so interesting, because you're going to get frustrated with your players, you know, your friends, but you can also do like public matchmaking as well, which really changes the dynamics.
Oh yeah, yeah. So we've been lucky enough that we have four friends who
thankfully,
so we have a full squad.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the beautiness of the game as well. Like you talked about how, you know, one you could end up in the jungle, you could explore different parts of the map, and there's even an area where it's just a flat surface.
Salt flats.
Salt flats, and it's just absolutely amazing when you just take a helicopter and fly around.
Each province has its own you know, ecosystem almost. Mm. Like you say, if you head up kind of northwest, that is where the salt flats are. There's jungle in the middle. There's swampland down at the bottom, you know, and it's done so well that you honestly, when you're flying around this map, you're like, holy moly, you know, I can land there on that salt flat, or I can land there on that mountain. And it's convincing enough within, you know, a video game context, you feel as though you're somewhere else. And the
environment reacts as well. Like, you will sometimes see a flare gun going up in the middle of the
Or an explosion. Or you'll hear certain animals that will only appear in that certain area. So you're in the swamps, you'll be hearing the kind of crickety, you know, kind of sounds with certain birds. And you go up where there's the high mountains and you're hearing the screech of eagles and that kind of stuff. It is a beautiful, beautiful looking game.
And you would see helicopters going down as well because they were shot by, you know, military or you know, something. Let's talk about the downside of this game, the bugs, which are plenty.
So many.
We may only end this show tomorrow if we talk about all of this, the bugs.
When was the last time you played a game with bugs, which are frequent, and still enjoyed it? I can't think of many, Jeff. I'll be honest, you know.
Yeah, that's a good question.
The
Division was just too much for me that I had to stop.
Right. Same.
Rainbow Six was all right for me. Still didn't carry on. Yeah.
Yeah. So little things like one of the missions, for example, is to fly steal an aeroplane and land it on a runway. Which is doable. I mean, the controls are difficult enough, right?
Yeah.
That's without being said. But once you land that plane and you step out of that plane, for whatever reason, this plane decides to pirouette and explodes. And you're like, why? I've just spent 20 minutes flying this thing. You know, or even like...
You could get stuck in a ditch.
Stuck in a ditch, stuck between two rocks.
Yeah.
Spawning in the middle of a firefight.
Yes.
Your parachute doesn't open.
You
try to jump up the side of a cliff to do some base jumping, and you end up face planting.
Yeah. There are plenty of bugs in this game.
Not being able to use your drone or your binoculars is another issue.
It's frustrating, but there's just something that we keep going back to this game.
Yeah.
And we feel like, oh, you know what, Rich, let's restart the game.
Right. And I tell you what it is, for me in particular, there is a level of completionist for the first time in a long time. I'm like, I am going to do this. This game is not going to beat me. I'm going to get all the trophies. I'm going to kill all the bosses, and I'm going to solve all the province problems. You know, I am going to make Bolivia drug free.
Wow, that is your mission.
That's what it feels like.
You know what? Actually, I'm on your camp as well. I love this game despite its flaws, despite its bugs, which are plenty. The game now costs really cheap. How much did you get yours for, Rich?
I think it was about $240, and that came with the base game, all the DLC, which, whatever, and the season pass.
Yeah. So the reason why we've not talked about the DLC yet is because the Narco Road DLC, that is the first DLC, kind of looks like something came out from Fast and Furious that's shot in Bolivia.
Yeah. Yes.
The game is on, I think it's about 180 ringgit,
bargain.
Just the game alone.
Bargain.
Which is a bargain for what it is, because it's a big game. You are not going to finish this game within a day.
Oh, no. Even if you sat for 24 hours, you would not know.
Yeah, it is a lot to do. Like, it may get repetitive, but just do an open lobby and continue the missions that you're doing.
Make some friends,
play with this game. Amazing game. Sadly, though, it doesn't have much good reviews online when you Google it, but, you know, trust our word in this. If you want a game that is just a good round, all, you know, shooter, you want to, you know, drive around a vehicle, get a helicopter, fly around, just have a good time.
If you like Grand Theft Auto 5, is it 5?
Yes, 5.
You will love this.
Yeah.
You know, for sure.
Yeah. Doesn't love Grand Theft Auto?
Right. If you like The Division, you like this. You know, there's elements of third person, first person. You can drive, you can fly. Be prepared to get frustrated.
Oh, yeah.
But make friends. You know, have some friends play along with you, and you'll have, I swear to God, you'll have a blast. It'll be hilarious.
All right. Well, we're running out of time now. Game time will end here, but after this, I have a review of two smartphones that I will be doing right after this. You're listening to Game Time, episode 33. My name is Jeff Sandu,
I'm Rich Bradbury.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.